You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
with your life.
Running like a red disease.
Running like a red disease. Ghetto people.
Stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, young. You got to learn to love yourself. Ghetto people.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we review the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything that on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement: Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. there's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything is well with you today. Hope you're going to have a great day and a great weekend. Hope you get a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can't do, and will do. And hope the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But of course, as we always say, if it is not, you will get it done anyway. Because that's the kind of brother and sister that you is. And that's why we love you, appreciate you, respect you, and doing it. And you'll be doing it safely. We know this. Other programming that this is African Perspective. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to the archives at timeforanawakening.com. At the top of the page, you'll see podcasts. Click on that. The drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and you'll see programs that are dated and titled. Also, you can go to babaoshi.net, babaoshi, O-S-H-I.net. For previously recorded programs. Thanks to my good brother, Brother Kwaku. Appreciate you, brother, and you know this, man. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. On Mondays, all times are going to give our Eastern times. Of course, this program is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. On Mondays from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds, Public Affairs Programming with Brother Jihad Ahmed out of Philadelphia. That's followed by from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m., Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Kamban and Nataki Kamban. And then from 9 to 10, Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey of Encobra. On Tuesdays, from 8 to 10, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers. And then on Wednesdays, the Black Farmers Report on Wednesdays from 8 to 9. And then if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Time for an Awakening on Fridays. And then Saturdays from 4 to 6, Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers. And then from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council. On Sunday from 7 p.m., Time for an Awakening once again. It's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. That's 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. We Buy Black. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses from WeBuyBlack.com. The largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses is WeBuyBlack.com. Of course, we're going to have extensive conversation today because my guest will be Brother Bumani Tahimba of Africa for the Africans. And he has some good information to share and the possibilities for you. Not just to have a trip of a lifetime, in which it is, but also to invest and repatriate and all this good information that we will be bringing to you. So, Habesha Incorporated, HabeshaIncorporated.org. That's right, brothers and sisters. Go to HabeshaIncorporated.org. Habesha stands for Helping Africans by Establishing Schools at Home and Abroad. And, of course, they have the Kashi Project going on in Ghana as we speak, and homes are being built and there's some good progress. And just go to the website and you'll see the progress that is being made. Habesha Incorporated.org. Dr. Rinoko Rashidi, Baba Rinoko, and there is a remembrance and reflections on the life and legacy of Dr. Rinoko Rashidi. Today, this evening, Rinoko
Let me see if I got this right. No, it is. It's Sunday. I apologize. Let me read it. Renoka and I, this is Tony Broder speaking. Renoka and I had your first brother-to-brother Zoom confrontation. On June 20th, Renoka and I hosted our first brother-to-brother Zoom presentation, and we plan to have another on August 22nd to discuss our summer travels in Africa. Unfortunately, that program will not happen as planned, as Renoko's passing has forced us to revise our program. We will now spend the evening remembering and reflecting on Renoko's great and mighty walk, and we will hear from some of his family and friends. This special evening will feature remembrances by his sister, Carol Strong, and her husband, Donald, and Renoko's cousin, Joyce King. The reflections will be by LeGrand Clegg. That's the brother who did the documentary on which I had on VHS way back. And that's when I first saw Renoko. He had Renoko and Dr. Charles Finch, LeGrand Clegg, When Black Men Ruled. Maybe you might catch that on YouTube, When Black Men Ruled the World. And Charles Finch is also going to give reflections, who was in that documentary. Annette Blake, Atlantis Broder, Tony Broder's daughter. Professor James Small, Paul Coates, and Carl Nelson of the Carl Nelson Show out of D.C. And this is hosted by Anthony Broder. It'll be Sunday, August 22nd, 6:30 to 8 p.m., 6:30 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time. And this is a webinar, so there is a cost. It's $30. And 80% of the proceeds from this program will go to Renoko's 14-year-old daughter, Asada. So please, brothers and sisters, check it out. Let me see. It's a Zoom webinar. Let me see. I don't want to try to give you the whole line, but go to Anthony Broder's page. Go to Anthony Broder's page. I'm like, quite sure it might be there, so. All right. The LEDGE Group. LEDGE stands for Land for the Environmental Development Group Economics. LEDGE Group. And brothers and sisters, the LEDGE Group, of course, they're doing outstanding work on the continent. They deal in the four areas of human existence, which is food, water, clothing, and shelter. Gotta have it. They have 12 projects in six countries with over 170 employed and over 260 members. Become a member of the LEDGE Group. LEDGE, go to theledgegroup.com. Theledgegroup.com. Bibi Atumeh. Bibiatumeh.com. Abibitumeh.com. Bibiatumeh.com. Brothers and sisters, on this Sunday, they will start their Swahili course. Okay, you register now. Go to Bibiatumeh.com and register for the Swahili course. I'm not sure how much it is. I try to find out, but it is a beginner's course. As you know, we advocate us learning a language that we can speak amongst ourselves.
This call may be recorded or transcribed.
I think that's highly important to have a language that we can speak among ourselves, where we can have some cultural privacy. You know what I'm saying? Have some cultural privacy. So go to Bibiatumeh. Abibitumeh.com. Okay. Wadada's Healthy Market in Julia. No. Let me go to Baba Baruti. Baba Baruti has a webinar coming up too. On September 2nd, Thursday, September 2nd, 7 p.m. is the Zoom, and it's presented by the Black Awakening Movement. The Black Awakening Movement presents Common Sense Security, a special lecture by Baba Baruti, Baba Mwalimu Baruti, and that's going to be Thursday, September 2nd at 7 p.m. Eastern. It's registration is required. That's $10. And check out, you can email Black Awakening Movement at Gmail. Email blackawakeningmovement@gmail.com. Also, of course, you know, we talk about Baba Rudy all the time. We're going to read Yenye Sesim in a minute. And, of course, he has the Ackerman Institute, and you can donate to Ackerman Institute, outstanding educational work that he's doing. And that is through PayPal or Cash App. If you use Cash App, the dollar sign, Yah, his wife's name, Yah, N-E-Yah, but just Yah, Y-A-A, the letter M, Rudy, B-A-R-U-T-I. Also, too, if you want to get books by Baba Rudy, go to AckermanHouse.com, AckermanHouse.com. Okay, the Without Us Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located here in the West End, here in Atlanta, on Ralph David Abernathy. It's right across the street from the Soul Vegetarian, up the street from the Shrine of the Black Madonna, which is Shrine of the Black Madonna, is open every Friday and Saturday from 1 p.m. to 7 p.m. They do have services now online. Also, too, we have the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall, Mama Nia. You want to give her a call if there's a book or something you're looking for. She has a fine selection of books, postcards, greeting cards, T-shirts, figurines, all kind of good stuff. Give her a call at 404-346-3263. That's 404-346-3263. Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia, my good brother Kazimde Ajamu has done well with that space he has. I really love what he's done. And so check out brother Kazimde Ajamu at the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia. Give him a call at 404-519-8107. That's 404-519-8107. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of the Ujamaa Cooperative Economics. As we like to say, family-centered economics. They had their Thursday night broadcast last night on blogtalkradio.com. blogtalkradio.com/ULU. That's every Thursday night at 9, from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mama Tamu, she was once again talking about the book she wrote, 1148 Lewis Street in Jackson, Mississippi, when the Jackson Police Department, along with the FBI, vamped on them in a pre-dawn raid, just like they did Fred Hampton in Chicago. And they shot up the building, tear gassed the building. That it become the Republic of New Africa, the RNA 11. You need to hear about this story. You can check out by going to Us Lifting Us website. Us Lifting Us. UsLiftingUs.com. UsLiftingUs.com. Click on store. You also can go to Amazon. You want to read this story. It's really deep. It's beautiful. It's well written, too, by Mama Tamu. Us Lifting Us, every Thursday night from 9 to 10. And to listen, you can call or give questions or concerns by dialing 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. I'm going to announce this. I'm going to be announcing this Homeland Village Cultural Center and Gift Shop in Macon, Georgia. I was there. It's a beautiful place. Baba Abijah has a great place, 2910 Napier Avenue, and I'll be talking about all the things that the Homeland Village. So if you're in the Macon area, or if you're going to go through there, you got to stop. For any African conscious brother or sister, it is a must stop. They have the place is filled with all kinds of good stuff, man. They have a lot of programs for the community. And I've been to Macon a few times, but I didn't know about the Homeland Village Community Center in Macon, 2910 Napier Avenue. And if you want to give them a call at 478-256-1166. That's 478-256-1166. Sun Goddess Scents. Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop located at 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia. That's inside the Discount Mall, the International Discount Mall, booth 225 there in Forest Park, Georgia. Brothers and sisters, give our sister a call, Shelly Amonsett, at 404-434-7963. That's 404-434-7963. Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop. Sanjay Dash Aidi, Our good sister Gabrielle Arreal is doing excellent work, and she is on the opposite end of what happened in Haiti. I know they felt it throughout the island and in the region, you know, from just not Haiti, but of course over on the other side of the island, the Dominican Republic. But I understand that she and her children are fine there in the northeastern part of the island of Haiti. And so go to her website at Sanjay, SONJAYETAYITI.org. Sanjay-IET. You know, the beautiful work that they're doing with the children, with education, healthcare, sustainable agriculture, and entrepreneurship. Check them out. All right, brothers and sisters, let me go to the N-Yay-Say-Sim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. The N-Yay-Say-Sim. You know, I love the N-Yay-Say-Sim. It's always something that we can always use. The N-Yay-Say-Sim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. August 19th. Confusion means you're getting ready to learn something. Evelyn Dudeyemi. Sister Evelyn Dudeyemi and her husband, beautiful couple, they wrote the book, A means Africa, S means sovereignty. Children's book, beautiful. And they moved, they repatriated, they now live in Tanzania. Beautiful couple, beautiful children. Brother Dudeyemi and his lovely wife. Confusion means you're getting ready to learn something. It is said that when the student is ready, the master will appear. However, the master does not have to be a person or a book written by one. It can simply be life. And for thinkers, it usually is. Regardless of readiness, the commencement of any lesson is found in honest, humble acknowledgments of ignorance. For earnest minds, ignorance brings a confusion which gives us insight into what we do not know but need to learn. For dishonest ones, learning is merely superficial, if that. Confusion, like clarity, is to be sought. Both enhance our thinking abilities. Confusion indicates the unknown, while clarity opens up our minds to grander possibilities in the realm of what is knowledgeable. Confusion creates questions, and questions exercise our thinking muscles no less than the answers. When worthy questions lead to meaningful answers, we experience something positive, a progressive, dialectical, developmental, intellectual investigation. We argue with ourselves in seeking truth. And the difficulty strengthens us for the challenges ahead. The work of gaining answers out of confusion prepares us to develop even more sophisticated questions and revealing answers. Without challenges, we would not grow. Intellectual activity and therefore living will become mundane and ordinary, even mediocre or useless. Learners have a great disdain for not knowing. It brings a discomfort and intellectual anxiety, which drives one to solve whatever questions stand in the way of knowing. For them, confusion is exciting because it signals that they are ready. They're getting ready to learn something. Affirm, I ever remain ready to learn my way out of confusion. Affirm, I'm ever remain ready to learn my way out of confusion. August 20th. Misfortune is sometimes just good fortune, well wrapped up. When the wrappings wear away, good fortune tumbles out. Amadou. Many who do not know you will claim to do so in order to seen as authorities with the right turn others against you. And while from time to time they may be able to disturb your inner peace or your outer peace, there is a good in their intrusions. They bring out the hiding of those who are quietly waiting in the wings, yearning for your fall. So when wrongly accused of anything, notice the indicator, but especially listen for any individuals in agreement with those who lie against you. They are the true revelation, for they have been lying in wait against you all along. Deep hatred is a well-hidden opportunist. Those who know you know better. Those who know you know, and affirm, I am fortunate. I believe me, personally, I am. It's a good one. August 21st, One who stands in the water does not fear cold. A kind proverb. Nothing can be done to you by those who have nothing that you need. Dependency is the gateway to fear and domination. No people is born to be ruled by others. That arrangement must be created. And the most efficient way of doing this is to create single-minded consumers and mindsets whose personal and professional validation comes from anywhere but themselves. They must be made to see themselves as domesticated pets and come to glorify that state as a privilege. They must come to relish their state as caged animals. We are this to Yorugu. That's really, brothers and sisters, that's who we are. Caged animals. And as evident from their ability to remain a dominating force in our lives, this is no accident. They know. Their evil genius is quite evident. They fear us because they know who we are. Mostly, though, they fear those among us who refuse to forgive or forget what they have done to us and can continue to do to us. And like the animals that freely live in a forest who could easily tear a human to shreds if they do not move in peace and were aware of the predatory ways of Yorugu-minded individuals, warriors are lethal beyond our imagination. They walk with intrepidation because they have experienced the threat of Yorugu and have come through it unbroken. They walk through the cold as they do through the warmth. They know that Yorugu has nothing they will ever need. Affirm, I have been tested in the coldest of waters. Affirm, I have been tested in the coldest of water. Brothers and sisters, the Inye Sesem of daily revolutionary thought. Our guest will be coming on very shortly, and really appreciate him and what he has done. Brother Bamani Tayemba, having taken so many of our people, giving them the opportunity at a fair price. If you check out other tours, you know, he's very comparative. In fact, he's usually less than, but not in terms of the impact of the tour and so forth. And what you'll see, in fact, when you go to Brother Bamani's tours, you will see how, you know, how good they are and how good this brother prepares. And, you know, you have good accommodations. And I remember one of the first tours I went to, which turned out to be cool, and I'm not complaining about it. When I first went to Ghana, and I went to Winneba, and the place was kind of old, a little run down and so forth, but I enjoyed it. I really did. I met a good friend, Eric, who has been my friend since that time. I seen him grow up. He was in school and his sister, and you know, and I still talk with Eric and text and so forth. You know, that was a good experience. Winneba is west of Accra, halfway between Cape Coast, Dungeon area, Cape Coast and Elmina, Dungeon and Accra. And you know, but when you go online to check out and the videos, you know, because I always mention it, you know, if you want to check out pictures of the tours that Bomani has, you go to, you want to check out the pictures, go to, you know, Facebook.com/Bomani. You want to check out videos, go to YouTube.com/Bomani 2007, and you'll see for yourself. I mean, good tour buses, good accommodations, you know, very safe. And so I say, at least think about it seriously. Contact Brother Bomani, go on his website. Everything you need is on the website. All the information, all the forms, the visas, and everything from each of the trips that he has upcoming. And, of course, he has a trip going to Tanzania in November 18th through the 29th. And all of these trips are still at $3,700 apiece. $3,700, you put $400 down and you begin to pay on it. You know, that well over 10 days. The Ghana trip, which is December 24th to January 5th, 2022. And then April 1st to April 11th, 2022, Senegal and Gambia. And then May 24th to June 5th, 2022, once again to Ghana. Now, you know, there's a few places I like to go that are that I haven't been. I've been to Senegal. I've been to Ghana. I've been to Egypt. And I like to go to some other countries to check them out. And, you know, as many as I can, as many as I can afford to. Many, I mean, I got time. I'm retired. I ain't got money to match. You got time. You know, in fact, if somebody said, hey, you could go right today, I can go right today, you know. But can I afford to go right today? That's always the question. But you prepare for it. I was talking to good brother, Brother Mickey Dean, who has been a guest on this program numerous times and has shared a lot of good information. He is the still a brother who deals in international affairs for the organization National Black United Front and the National Black United Front chapter in Kansas City, which is one of the strongest chapters in the National Black United Front, along with Houston, you know. And I know the National Black United Front is holding on. I'm going to try to get Brother Kofi Taharka on, who is the chair, because they have the caravan to the ancestors coming up in October. And that is in the Galveston area. So they go from Houston, the caravan goes from Houston to Galveston, you know, because Galveston is right there on the, you know. So I'm going to get Brother Kofi Taharka to talk about that. So hopefully you might be interested in going to Houston to participate in the caravan to their ancestors, you know. Yeah. So I'm waiting for my good brother. He just texted me, said he'd be on. He's quite busy, as he usually is. But I really do appreciate Brother Bomani Tahimba for what he has done and what he continues to do, you know, because he's not just talking about it. He's doing it. He's doing it. He's doing it in the spirit of Marcus, the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey. He's doing it in the spirit of those brothers and sisters who talked about repatriation, who talked about going back and giving to Africa, because I believe that the more of us that do this and the more of Africans who begin to embrace us, and of course, the more of us who are committed and sincere, we can oust all those neo-colonialists, all those puppets, all those boot kissing and butt licking. We can oust them and begin to speak to the world that Africa is for Africans. Out goes the Chinese. Out goes the Indians. Out goes Koreans. Out goes the Arabs. Out goes the Europeans. Africa for Africans. See, as I say on this program all the time, Africa has all of the resources that everybody wants. Can't do it out. Don't want to pay for it. That's Dr. John Henry Clark's quote that we end the program with every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Because it's true. It's true. Africa has the dominance of resources. I couldn't do this program if it wasn't for Colton, that is Mind in Africa, that assist in putting up computers and cell phones and all the other electronical devices that are of a necessity today. But just like I've mentioned before, in fact, you go to YouTube, put in Howard Nichols. Howard Nichols, this Caucasian, is speaking and saying why we must keep Africa poor. We must keep Africa ignorant. We must keep Africa divided. We must make sure that Africa does not come together to control its resources. We must make sure that Africa does not build an ability to be productive, to to produce. You know, and I said this a few times when I'm sitting in a cocoa farm in Ghana and realizing that, you know, all of this is ours, that the, you know, the raw materials that we don't produce anything. These materials leave Africa and they go to Europe and then they come back. So back to us. And we see the brothers and sisters on the streets selling chocolates from Europe, Cadbury and so forth, you know. So, yeah. Okay. So I might have to take a break. I don't know. I hope not. Okay. So I'm hoping that my good brother comes on in, within a few minutes. I just sent him the information again, and because this is going to be a good program when we get it together, because this program will provide for you all the information that you need. And all the exciting things that Brother Bomani is making happen on the continent and preparing our brothers and sisters to take advantage of, you know. So, Brother Bomani.
Yes, greetings, Brother Oshi. Bomani Tamba here. Can you hear me live, loud, and direct?
That's right. We can hear you live, loud, and clear. How are you this day, dear brother?
Excellent. I'm doing well. Just
well, you know,
updating all of our materials online to show our progress.
Right on. I have prepped our listening audience. They're eager to listen to what you have to say, what you have done, what you're doing, what you're proposing. You know, and like I said, I looked at what you sent me. It's all great. It's all good. And of course, you know that I announce Africa for the Africans every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on this platform, because I love the work that you have done and continue to do in giving our people an experience of a lifetime and also providing for them the ability to repatriate if they want to do that, the ability to invest in Africa if they choose to do that. But many people who go on the tours, I'm quite sure, are very happy, because based upon what I have seen, and if you go to youtube.com/Bomani2007, you'll see videos of what's happening. If you want to see pictures, go to facebook.com/Bomani, and you'll see pictures of all those previous tours. How long have you been doing this now, brother, and how many people have you taken to the motherland?
Yes, I've been in business this time 15 years ago. We officially started business October of 2006 and did our first journey December of 2006 to Ghana. So literally this year itself is 15 years. I've done 19 journeys to Ghana alone, and I've done a combination of other countries, which are six other countries, more so over the recent years, because I did spend a lot of time in Ghana to build a foundation. But I've taken a total of over at least 450 different brothers and sisters from the African diaspora to the African continent. That expands to seven different countries, even though I've been to 10 different countries from 2004 to now. And those countries are Ghana, Togo, Benin, Senegal, the Gambia, South Africa, and Tanzania. Those are the seven countries. And I had a five-country rotation, which includes Ghana, Senegal, the Gambia, Tanzania, and South Africa. But I honestly don't know what to do with South Africa. Before, it was the Nigeria situation, then it was the COVID-19 access to where we couldn't go because of shutdown, and then now it's like, I don't know what you call it, what you call civil disturbance or whatever, but
right.
I'm having a frustration trying to deal with it, because, you know, you put a lot of money trying to get things together to get your partnership set up in a country and have people there, but I never want to jeopardize the lives of anyone or any of us.
That's right.
So I don't know what's going on with South Africa. Right now, I'm proud and I feel good about Ghana, Senegal, the Gambia, and Tanzania. Now, as far as repatriation and people living and doing business in a country, the two countries that I have on my list right now is literally Ghana, and then the secondary country is the Gambia. We just have to put more work into it and kind of organize the people that we have there. That way, when people are ready to go, we can kind of get things set up for them. But based on all the garbage and the drama on YouTube with the different groups, whether they're from the UK or the US, it's making it difficult and things like that. But what we have in Ghana is very special, and it's been consistent. And even though we have our little issues and drama in Ghana, what we have agreed to is not to air our dirty laundry all over YouTube and things like that. We have that much respect for each other to where when we have issues, we come together and we talk about it. And I'm talking about people like myself and the rest of the people from the diaspora that are there doing things, you know, whether it's the African American Association of Ghana, different representation of people that's from the different diaspora, or even the ones from the Caribbean Association and that representation from the Caribbean and other parts of the diaspora and things like that. So trying to encourage my folks in the Gambia to just organize and get it together so people like myself and the ones that we have there in Ghana can work with them to where they can get on the same platform that we have in Ghana to where they can get more people residency, citizenship, and things like that, and be able to get access to certain land and be able to really build the community energy, because at the end of the day, it's all about Black power and Black corporative economics, as yes. The book Blueprint for Black Power by Dr. Amos Wilson.
Yes. And it can happen. It can happen.
Absolutely. No, you know, yeah. we just have to be willing to put the work in. Mm-hmm.
So you're saying that probably the best two countries is Gambia and Ghana to begin to look at the repair. What about Tanzania?
Yeah, the issue is the immigration laws and things like that. Now, Tanzania is one of my favorite countries. I mean, we had a blast there, and I'm so happy that we didn't get a chance to go to South Africa in November last year, because that just justified and made it to where, you know, we were able to pick the next best country, which offered the same thing and the same kind of landscape, a very modern country from safari to beautiful cities. You know, when you think of that, you think about South Africa and Tanzania, and then Tanzania, beautiful beaches, you know, and things like that. So I love the country, but I don't know enough about the country, and I don't have any diplomatic connections. And I got my two business partners there. That one is more of a tour organizer, and the other one more of a tour guide. And we're working together to kind of get there. But then I got to look at what we did in Ghana. It took us so long and a lot of work to get where we got. So I'm open to Tanzania, but also the country has to be open to us and to where they're going to be open to creating immigration laws to offer benefits for those of us from the African diaspora that's looking to come there and do business and things like that, which takes a while, and it takes a lot of diplomatic people in the country from the diaspora to do those works. That's why I always love Sister Imaku from One Africa.
Yes, Dr. Sister Imaku.
And several others. And you know, I apologize if I can't bring their name up right now, but they were the pioneers that was there for the, you know, like for the last 20 to 40 years,
yes,
and putting in the work. And then when I came through, I was like, these are my elders that have done great work. Let me empower them. Let me connect with them. Let's work together. And they embraced me from day one, even though I was someone that didn't know anything about Africa. I was just coming, trying to do tours, trying to learn. And I was able to learn from them and learn from others. And, you know, and to be able to just do a little bit more in the movement, which we all have to humble ourselves when we just connect with, you know, connect into that world and just learn. Because then 15 years later, I'm able to do so much, and I can organize community. I got so much different people there in Ghana. While I'm even here working in the U.S., they're there working on the things that we need to work on. We're sending people over, and people are getting all the things that they need to get. So it's, you know, it's something that can happen, and you're telling everyone from the diaspora, like, well, if you guys don't believe us, that, you know, Africa is open for us to build together, let me just show you and keep on showing you. But after a while, you're like, hey, we need the extra support. That way we can get more into corporate investments. So we're putting our money together and we're competing with the likes of the Indians and other Asian groups and the Lebanese and other Arab groups, which are the main forces right now all across Africa. You know, the Caucasians and different people and different groups from Europe are still, you know, doing their thing. But even the Asians and Arabs are outdoing them in development and business. And it's like a lot of those opportunities are opportunities that we in the diaspora could have taken advantage of.
Yes, I know, man.
But it's not late.
Because, I mean, it really saddens me when I see that. you know, when I was in Ghana, and of course I stopped waiting for literally hours for the brother for the Garvey town, and was disappointed that it was not, you know, further along. And I know you broke that relationship, and now you are doing something different in terms of having a like a subdivision for American Africans and Ghanaians to live together and develop a town, a city, or a you know, tell us about that.
Well, perfect. I can definitely get into that. We literally was working on this 2 years ago to the summer date. And, you know, whenever I have any issues or any confusion with any other groups of black people, I tell them, you know, let's dialogue, because dialogue is the most important thing, you know.
Yes.
So I got with Garvey Town, their organization leaders and our group members that were part of the group that we have always built for repatriation. And, you know, because I was trying to merge our connection with them to show a united front. But unfortunately, I'm all about business administration and technical administration and doing things, you know, the modern day and the right way. As we see, we can build things and offering people what I've learned in the business of tourism, which we call accommodations, a simple big word, basically taking care of your own people and making sure they're good. So we was never able to work it out to where they were willing to give the groups of people that I have access to building the type of homes they want and building the kind of community that they want and things like that. And I don't take lightly when people turn around and insult my brothers and sisters from America and other parts of the diaspora that are with me. You know, I mean, I understand some of us are not, you know, the most, you know, organized people and things like that. But the ones that are with us, you know, I've explained to them and showed them that these are the best of the brothers and sisters I can organize from the diaspora, and they're ready to live in Africa. We've been working on trying to get land for a long time. This is what I was explaining to Garvey Town. And they have this kind of stuck-up British mentality and things like that. And it doesn't work. We all have to drop our egos.
Yes.
You know, we all have to drop our egos when we come to the table on a united front. And they weren't willing to adjust anything and accommodate my group. So I told my group, you know, we're just going to have to, unfortunately, take a loss. And number one, I explain to them, I get as much money as I can get back. And then anyone that just wanted to say, hey, no, Bomani, just give me what you can give me as far as the refund, and I'm done with you. And I told them that, you know, I respect that because I'm the one that vouched for the situation, and I have to take accountability for it. So I told them that the best deal I have is I have a lot of people in Ghana. I have my tour guide, which is also my consultant, and also many other things. I've known him from 2007, my brother, Kwabena. I reached out to him, and I reached out to a few of the people that I've known for a long time that I trust with my life and everything, to go reach out to a few chiefs that I knew that were doing certain business. But when you're a person from the African diaspora, you can't just run up to an African chief and just start talking to him. It's not going to happen. It doesn't work that way. You have to follow certain customs, procedures. So I looked at so my brother, Kwabena, literally worked those things for us and presented a few different options based on the people reach out to him. We found one chief that was, you know, he was a lawyer, a judge, and all those things, which is very important to me because we're dealing with the legality of land, law, residential, people moving from the country. I mean, all of this is on the base of legal. And then we added another attorney to work with him. And so we were able to get land outside of Winneba. And Winneba is about an hour and a half, 2 hours away from Accra. And same thing from Cape Coast. So it's between Accra and Cape Coast. And the town is called Jahadzi. It's kind of like, kind of like the outskirts or the suburb parts of where Winneba is. So that is an entire town, an undeveloped, beautiful town. I mean, you go to the beaches, you think in your mind, like, if I was in Jamaica, all of this would be the setup where you have all kind of white resorts and all those things. Mm-hmm. So I told people, I was like, we got to keep this a secret, and we got to make sure that we build black resorts and black operations and all these things here and things like that. So the chief gave me an exclusive connection to get access to reach out to my brothers and sisters in the diaspora to do those things. But first he wanted to start us off with 15 acres of land. And, you know, because he wanted to see if we were going to really be about our business. So, you know, we met him in December 2019, and we started a company, Black Star Pan-African Community, in September of 2019. By the beginning of the year to almost the end of summer, we paid him off for the 15 acres of land. And it was some money. It was some chump change. It was like $70,000. And I tell people, land is not cheap. You do have free, so-called free land in Africa. But what we wanted to do we wanted to, it was 60 of us also, so it's a lot of money. But when you put like that much people together, it's financially right. work out because you tell them, hey, it's 15 acres of land. You can get this plot, that plot. I can get this plot. My family can get this one. My brothers and sisters over there, and other people can get this plot. And we all agreed. I mean, as difficult as that may sound, because sometimes people think we can't get along and can't work things out. We put the money together and we pay that man for like several straight months, and he got his money, and he was so happy he couldn't believe it. And I was like, "Yeah, we're about our business. We don't want to be the people that come here and say give us the free land because we are stolen." You know, which he said he understands that because he's been learning about it. But he also said that, you know, we have to, you know, we need, you know, we need financial situations for us to do what we need to do. So that worked out perfect. And
beautiful.
I like that deal better because when I was working with Garvey Town, they did a kind of bad deal to where you convince the local chief to give you a ridiculous amount of land. And then you tell him you're going to give his people scholarships. You're going to build a medical center. You're going to build schools and things like that. And they did try to build some of those things, but it's like they bit off more than they can chew.
Mm-hmm.
So we told the chief that, you know, let's just pay you the money outright. And what we're going to do is a lifetime commitment because we have children coming also. And then we have people that's going to be having their children when they get there. We're going to merge a connection with us and the entire town. And we're going to, when we build anything in our community, it's also going to be for the town itself, whether we build a business center, community center, and things like that. And also we have there's an orphanage at school there that, you know, I've already even made my way over when we got there December of last year and built wonderful relationships to where, you know, we was able to just get some donations, school supplies, and just build a foundation right there. Just like I've done from the history of my time in Ghana, I've always had two or three schools that I dedicate myself to because I always look back at it. When I was growing up in Jamaica, we didn't have certain things, and we was always hoping that somebody came around and say, hey, let's start a soccer club for you guys. Let's pay for lunch. Let's get you guys some school supplies. Let's do some donations for you guys. Let's come and try to do certain things. So you're trying to be that change that, you know, you want to see and right things on. Like that. So the chiefs love our energy, and the entire community love us, especially when two of our group members literally built a public bathroom in the town. I have so much videos of that. I'm still impressed when I go there because they just did it on their own. And that's what I like, you know. So those things have helped to make that connection. Mm-hmm. And now we have access to another 57 acres that we've been paying for because now the 15 acres is all bought up. And then the people that bought it up on the first 15 acres, some of them have already started building their homes and things like that.
Wow.
Some of them are working on that progress. So I'm telling them, within 2 years, we have gotten so much accomplished. And that's why I tell people, I was like, we had the same mindset when we were working with Garvey Town. The only issue is that when you have this brainwashed, stuck-up black people who feel like they need to be dictators and not just be open to where we can be accommodated and things like that. Like, don't tell me to come to Africa and live impoverished because the poverty line and certain percentage of people are living hardship. You know, we're open to working what we can do, but at the same time, too, when the places I stay in Ghana, especially East of Ghana, you should see the houses that people have. Sometimes I marvel, like, I'm like, wow. You know, you're stepping out of your hotel and you see mansions,
yeah,
and you see
certain,
you see just a developed, this beautiful town or beautiful, you know, area called East of Ghana, and it's like, you're telling me I need to come and build a one-floor bungalow just because you made a deal and you got plans for that. I was like, no. I was like, everyone who's coming to Africa want to build their dream house. Most of us have never been able to do that. You know, from even dealing with the real estate financial market where these crazy people in America just messed up the market for a lot of people and messed them up to where some people had to leave their homes and do certain things. So some of us never was able to even enjoy the homes that we even paid for. I enjoyed mine for about 5-6 years, and I have to say, you know what? These people messed the market up. You know, I call a company and say, hey, you can have this house. I'm going to downsize, and I'm going to just, you know, work on my plan to invest my money in Africa because, you know, clearly America is not, you know, America is falling apart at that time. And this was like 2008, 9, 10.
Mm-hmm. Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah, really.
And they had that
really
famous
down.
Guy called Bernie Madoff.
Right.
I'll never forget that name. Madoff with all kind of money.
He sure did, man. He made off with all kind of money. Ponzi scheme. But, you know, when you mentioned Winneba, I've been to Winneba. There was a resort that looks like it was built during the times of colonialism, unfortunately, but it was right there on the ocean, you know, and I stayed there. And I mentioned this early in the broadcast this morning. and met a young man whose family was helping take care of that property at that time. You know, and I would see in the morning the brothers would go out there and cast their nets to catch fish, you know, to share with the people in that area for, you know, for food and so forth. I mean, just I was saying to myself, this would be great to develop this, to really improve on it, to, you know, to do the necessary repairs, because it definitely needed that, you know, but to be a resort that you could advertise to brothers and sisters to come, and you would have vans to go pick them up from the airport in Accra, because it's very close. You'd be like halfway between Accra and Cape Coast Dungeon, you know. And then, of course, you have access to that road to go to Kumasi and so forth. And it's a good road, isn't it? They've really improved that road.
Absolutely. The road's a lot much better than it was 15 years ago. Yeah. I tell people, 15 years ago, you're talking about dirt road heaven. But that shows you how Ghana has grown 15 years later. And I'm happy I stuck with it, because it's, you know, sometimes you have to put the time into it, because, you know, we see this all these different developed parts of America where the business incorporation place and the Secretary of State, wherever you have to go do business, everything is just so set to where everything gets done efficiently. And I tell folks, family, this, you know, we got to give the African continent time, but at the same time, too, we have to also put our input to get things to grow and give our feedbacks and things like that. And, you know, with that, a lot can change a lot can change really quicker than we think. Yeah. But a lot of times we want it now. We got to have it now. And all these things have to be adjusted. I'm telling people, I was like, Ghana, 1957. I was like, that's when the situation happened where independence happened. But even after independence, it still take about 30, 40 years to where you even have a foundation to where you can kind of build upon, because the colonization still exists. You have departments and all different access of things around the country that you're trying to figure out who's going to run it. And then now you're like, oh, my God, we got to call back the colonizer, and we got to call back the others to just come and do certain things. Well, you're at the mercy to them, and then that slows you down from independent progression.
You know, I love the way you're doing this now. Are you familiar with Fianchra?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
From 2006, I met them, and in 2007 to 2014, I brought big bus loads of people there because I believed in their vision.
Yeah.
And none of my group members that I brought there, the first few that I brought there that wanted to live there and do business there, all they did to me was complain to me. It drove me crazy. But that's what I'm saying to people, that I've learned a lot from all the different situations, because I've also worked with several other groups.
Yeah.
And it was always disappointing. I'm not trying to just put our people down and saying, they weren't able to do it and I was able to do it and I'm like the supreme being or anything. No, but I learned from
Your dedication. That's why you were able to do it, because you were committed. Dedication, your heart and your mind was right. You know,
I learned from their mistakes.
Sure.
And I saw what could have been improved on that they weren't going to do. And then you also have to have some kind of business mindset or business administration background, or actually want to learn business, because you got records to keep up with. You got administration work to do. People need to be communicated. Things need to be updated.
Right.
And we get it done. Me and my small crew get it done.
Right on. Well, listen, we're going to take a break. When we come back from the break, we'll talk more with Bramani Tahimba with Africa for the Africans. Please join this conversation by dialing 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We have many people already in the queue. And, of course, if you want to have questions or comments for Brother Bramani, you know, just hit star twice and you can have that conversation. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
What you say? when they took my friend away. You know he loved to drink good whiskey. Oh, 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 oh. While laughing at the moon.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We're talking today with Brother Bamani Tayemba of Africa for the Africans and the great work that he is doing and continues to do, and of course, helping to bring over 450 of our brothers and sisters to the motherland where they can experience a trip of a lifetime, but more importantly, with the idea of investment, with the idea of repatriation, moving back to Africa. Brother Bamani.
Yes.
I know many people always want to think about or talk about dual citizenship. Have they made it easier to establish dual citizenship in some of these countries?
Yes, Ghana does have that relationship with America to where you can have both citizenship. So that's been established for a while. Now, the situation with us getting citizenship now, it's something that from 2016 to now, the last 5 years, we've gotten about several hundred of our brothers and sisters from the diaspora citizenship, mainly under an organization called Ministry of the Future, headed by Dr. Milana, who has lived in Ghana from California for 47 years. He's an elder. He's in his early 70s. And he has dedicated himself to diplomacy and educating attorneys, business people, on the need for Africans in the diaspora to get citizenship so they can be a part of the country, so they can also work with our brothers and sisters there, so we can build a new Africa for us as a people and be competitive with the invaders or colonizers, whatever we want to call them, the others, to where we live in an African continent, to where Africa is for the Africans, which means we're the ones that own and run the majority of our continent, and that's the biggest issue that we're still having, because when we go to any parts of Asia, any parts of the Arab world, any parts of Europe, you look at the percentage of Black people who've been lived there, must have even own or control anything. It's minimal to none. You look at the biggest population in Europe as far as Black folks, it's maybe about 3%. I think that's France. And I may be wrong with these numbers. I'm not quoting these numbers and things, but just giving an example of the situation. So we outnumbered, outgunned, out everything and everywhere else. So the only place we have is the African continent.
That's right.
And, more governments are seeing that, so those things are established. Now, it's up to us now when we get to the country to put the work in.
That's right. We need to put the work in, working with our brothers and sisters on the continent to establish a true brotherhood, a true sisterhood, a true familyhood that we can work together. My contention is that we must, be serious about Pan-Africanism, must be serious about sovereignty, to the point that we're putting all our time, energy, and resources into making that a reality, and either literally kicking these folks out of Africa, the Chinese. If you go to Ghana, and Bamani can tell you, if you go to Africa right now today, the Chinese are serious in Africa. Well, the Chinese are serious in other parts of the world, in the Caribbean.
World.
That's right.
They really want to be the next global power.
Yeah. And they're working towards that. But one thing that they have done, as opposed to the European, the other colonizers, even the Arabs, they have put work in. They have built things. They have projects. They have tried to. But although, just like I think in Zambia, where Zambia could not pay for the airport that the Chinese helped build, or the Chinese built, because they don't require any local help. They don't employ any of the people. Chinese, if they say they're going to build this, they come in and they do everything themselves, because they have Chinese prisoners that they will take from China to bring to your country. They'll house them, and they will be the manual labor to make something happen. And then, of course, they have their own management staffs and everything like that to make the project happen. I mentioned that I've been to the north. I've been to Tamale a few times. I went to Moli Park, took a plane from Accra to Tamale, and then once in Tamale, get a driver to take us from Tamale to Moley Park. Well, the first time I did that back in the late 90s, early 2000s, I think it was, the road was terrible. The road was terrible, you know. And the Chinese built a road from Tamale to Moley Park. But they also built a resort on a higher hill for themselves and a road that leads there. Excuse me. You know? So the Chinese are serious about takeover. In fact, when I went to Garvey Town, I saw some Chinese working with people, and they're very disrespectful to our people. Very, right. You know, it's something that I know we could not go to China and be disrespectful for them in their country. But that happens a lot because that has been happening for literally hundreds of years with Europeans, with and before Europeans, Arabs, and so forth, and Indians, you know. Indians who are dark as us, but of course, with the mindset that they have, just like when they were very prevalent, they were very prevalent in Uganda, and Idi Amin kicked them out, you know, and kicked them out, and all the stuff that they had built, they were saddened, of course, but hell, but it was just like when they kicked the French out in certain areas. Now, the French are very, very prevalent in Africa, especially in West Africa, you know, but we have a caller, Brother Mamani. Sister.
Absolutely. I'm open to talking.
Good. Mama Nabantu, good afternoon.
Greetings, brother. Glad to hear this. I'm glad that Vermont is here to talk about what's happening with the building and the tours. And I was considering going, and then I got word that my children all come into Atlanta on the 25th. So, Vermont, if I go, I have to leave early. But we'll talk about that offline.
Oh, yeah,
but,
absolutely. I got your back if we can work it out. It's all good, though. But appreciate your energy.
Oh, okay. So, have you all seen the video where the Chinese talk about how Africans are the stupidest people on the planet?
No, I didn't. That is a sad to always hear those things.
And the reason they said they were the stupidest people on the planet is because they can come in and set up a shop right next to an African shop, and all the Africans will stop shopping with their own people and start shopping with them. And part of it's because their prices are probably a lot lower. And then just recently, there was a video about the white clothes that are coming in droves to Ghana, that people are making money by selling white people's clothes, and that now is becoming a problem because the dumping area is just horrible, you know, about how many clothes that they're sending. Some of them are dirty, some of them just not good. So they have to go through and pick out the good ones. That's one part of it. But question I have for you is that, are you familiar with Maria Sock, who's running for president in Gambia?
No, I'm not familiar with that. I'm not familiar with what's really going on in Gambia as of recent, other than the YouTube drama.
Do you know Lord Ajmer?
No, I don't, unfortunately.
Okay, I want to hook you guys up. He's bringing her here. There's 20 men and the president of Gambia that's running. She'll be the first woman ever to run. And I'll send you the link, Brother Oshie. He is bringing her here to the States to put together a campaign committee. And I've looked at her video. She's quite outspoken. You know, you'll see it. But I just want to know if you knew about her and her campaign and what she's trying to do for the people. So I'll share that information to you, and because I have your contact, I'll share the video with you so you'll see what I'm talking about. So
you mentioned that she's coming here to do, you know, kind of market herself for government and everything. Is she coming to Atlanta or a different state?
The brother that sent me the information is living here in Atlanta right now, but he does have a lot of connections in Gambia because he has took SOT, you know, Arcana, took her to Gambia for a special thing, and they were on our Black Sustainability Summit several years ago. There's a presentation that's online now about what they were doing in Gambia. Excuse me. Because I believe there's a brother that's been there over 20, 30 years that has done quite a bit of work there with the native people there, the indigenous people there. So I can give you those connections and talk to you offline about trying to get there myself in November. Thank you for this
perfect
time.
Definitely, we can connect and appreciate you. That's some wonderful updates because, like I always tell people, there's a lot of things going on and we all can't keep updated, but the good thing about it, we can share information. So thank you for that. And I'm looking forward to working more with the Gambia. I went back there in April and I really loved the energy there and the support there once I got there. And I was like, you know, this is another country that we can really do some good stuff in. So thank you for that information.
What about Senegal?
Yeah.
What about
there's one more brother that moved there, Brother DJ. He just moved his family there. And he's very astute with permits and building and all that. He's been doing that. So again, he did something like you did, like there was a foundation laid before he got there with some elders who came from some state. They've been there over 20 years. I think his mother-in-law's grandmother or something, I'm not sure. But they laid the foundation for him to come there and to be able to do the building. He's already built one home in Senegal. And so now he's building a home in Gambia. But he said that they have to be very careful because COVID is getting bad right as we're speaking. It's getting bad.
Okay.
So just you know that.
All right, Mama Nabantu. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right.
Absolutely. Now I can definitely reach out to you and, you know, we can talk later and, you know, and connect and things like that. And it was also great seeing you at Marcus Garvey Day. Right there in the West End, August 14th. That was beautiful to see all my Pan-African brothers and sisters. That was powerful. So, and I wish I had more time to talk with you then, but I'll definitely reach out to you so you and I can dialogue more.
That's good. All right. I just mentioned Senegal. You don't mention Senegal enough. Is there an issue with Senegal?
That's funny. That is a good one.
You know.
I don't want to say too much. I don't want my Senegalese brothers and sisters being upset with me.
Okay, well, then we're gonna leave it at that.
But let me be respectful and at least comment on things. I love Senegal. It's the first country I ever went to in Africa, and the first time I understood what the African Holocaust meant because I was brought to
Gori Island.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I went with some of my colleagues or my associates from from the Atlanta airport. We all worked at Delta Airlines or a Delta company, and we had flight benefits, and we went there, and it just laid a foundation down for everything. So I will always remember it, and then nice. I was able to go back again in April. The thing of Senegal is a lot of this things going on. First of all, they build new cities, which is beautiful, but it's twice as expensive as the Gambia.
Wow. Okay.
To financially be prepared, mm-hmm. and then. If you're a person from the African diaspora, like, you know, from whether Jamaica or America, and you speak English, you got to learn French or at least learn Wolof. And Wolof is only going to get you so far. It's more French than anything. As a matter of fact, mm-hmm. the citizens in the country, they think that they're French because
yeah.
the French domination and the French, their psychological manipulation is making it seem like we're all one French people, Guadeloupe, wherever you're from, the Caribbean, from wherever, we're all one French people. And so on. And it's like they work the system so beautiful to where you literally think that you're a French person. And the same thing as certain countries that are controlled by the British, where they literally think that they're Brits and things like that. And that's the issue that you have. So the people that I have going there, they say that they want to see more African culture and not so much French and Arabic culture. Mm-hmm. And that's the issue that we have. But we do have people that are living there in Senegal. Now, if you call me in and you just, you know, you say, Bomani, you know, let's have a real dialogue. You know, what's my best option? I'm going to always tell you Ghana and the Gambia.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to tell you, and number one, I'm going to always say that those are the countries that we can definitely help you in. And we right. can help you in Senegal, but, you know, it's great for as far as like, you know, you're going on tourism for roots and culture. They got Gori Island, which is just anybody that's ever been to Senegal, Gori Island is just the number one must. Because you literally saw an island that was,
right.
you know, put together to house our people and ship our people off to, you know, to the African diaspora. And literally, and my favorite monument is the African Renaissance Monument. Yes. I know people say they're like a black German couple. People say a lot of things, but when you know, when I'm flying in, when I'm, you know, when you're literally just driving, and when you I'm in the top of the hotel that we stay at, you just can't just marvel. It was so exciting. Me and my little boy, my son, he's 11. His name is Bomani Dakari. He's the one. He motivated me. He was like, "Daddy, we got to go up to the top." I was like, "How we get to the top?" He's like, "There's an elevator," and that's why children are so incredible, because he was telling me things I didn't know. And because he went up there and he was talking to the people at the ticket counter, and he was like, "You can pay for tickets to get in the elevator." I was like, "For real? I didn't know that." Mm-hmm. I knew you can go in there and there's a museum in there, but so me and him went in there. I went to the top, and I was just recording. I was just so excited. So I got all those videos up on my YouTube channel of this, our experience in that statue. But that was incredible. And it represents man, woman, and child.
Right, right. It's beautiful.
The Trinity that Haile Selassie talks about, and which is very important in our modern day, because sometimes there's confusion, like, you know, with the whole same-sex stuff going on. And it's like,
right,
this is a Trinity, and our people, our children, our family can learn from that. So I put it in perspective as much as possible. I did about 5 videos and things like that. But, you know, you just want Senegal to be more African culture. Because when we go to Senegal, we're expecting that, and you're kind of disappointed. But at the same time, too, it's still a beautiful country, to where I've never seen, like, all of these new cities in one country. Like, the whole airport itself is in a whole different area, in a new city. So, you know, and the roads are incredible. The roads going all over the place are beautiful. You know, it has its ups, but, you know, we also, the ones of us that are going to the different countries, we have to do the diplomatic work to make it work for our people coming. And that's the importance of repatriation, as we're talking about repatriation mm-hmm. and the community development.
Have you ever decided to go to, what am I thinking of? Kenya?
I've been to Kenya once in 2004, and unfortunately I never got a chance to go back, but I enjoyed it. It was just me and my me and my wife at that moment, and it was a beautiful getaway. We was in South Africa, and we had a small group with us in 2005, and I was like, you know what, let's go to Kenya, because you know we have the flight benefits and we have access to go to Kenya and things. Let's go do it, because we have extra days. Mm-hmm. And I went there for a few days, and it was just beautiful. And it's one of the countries where I always wanted to get back to, but In the age of Ghana, you know, I've been stuck in Ghana because Ghana has been so good to me and right. good to the people that I've brought there.
I agree.
But I am planning on expanding to Uganda and also going to Kenya again. And even places like Rwanda is on my mind, because so much people are telling me Rwanda. But I'm like, you guys, is somebody paying you guys to tell me this? Because I'm not buying it. But then again, you know, I could be wrong. Rwanda could be one of the most incredible countries. But, you know, you have that you're traumatized, you know, from when I used to just watch all these videos back in like the mid-2000s, like sometime in April in a hotel Rwanda.
Yeah.
Even when watching the Blood Diamonds movie, it traumatized me. So when my brother's telling me that, hey, if you have a Sierra Leone DNA, they can get you literally citizenship in Sierra Leone. And they can, because the group members that have traveled with me that went to Sierra Leone with their Sierra Leone DNA, they're all Sierra Leone citizens. I have at least 2 people that have traveled me on the previous tours that have it. So I'm trying to reprocess things, but you know, the brainwashing is rough, man. When you sit there watching these things, and it's psychologically programming you mm-hmm. to divide yourself from your own people.
Right. And cause I know, I want to go to Rwanda. So many beautiful, the pictures that I've seen, you know, the women who are in leadership, very modern, a lot of good roads and so forth. So when you make a decision to go to Rwanda, I'm going with you. I'm going with you, man.
And then my sister Amicus was one of the biggest supporters. I ran into her in Tanzania in November 2020. And, you know, before our conversation and before I connected her, she was always telling me about Rwanda and about a women's group, which, you know, I've been a supporter of and things like that. So I'm looking forward to seeing her in December when we get to Ghana, because she's in Ghana, and you know, we're gonna talk about it. But,
yeah. Okay.
You know,
good.
I'm literally open. You know, good. But you know what people say: you gotta strike while the iron is hot, and the iron is hot in Ghana and countries like the Gambia.
Right on. Well, have you ever met Amakusa's husband, Nana Kofu?
No, unfortunately, when I got there,
he had already passed.
Unfortunately, in a hit and run accident. Right.
Right.
And I was on my way to the country that same year, yeah. but I didn't meet him.
Yeah. He was a firefighter, like I'm a firefighter. In fact, what was interesting, when some firefighters from New York found out I had gone to Ghana, they said, do you know this guy named Benny Robinson? I didn't know him as Benny Robinson. I knew him as Nana Okofu, you know.
Right.
And then they said, yeah, I know him, you know. And just a good man, beautiful man. Yeah, it's unfortunate. But we got another caller. Do you want to take this call? All right.
Sure, perfect.
404-573. 404-573.
Hotep family.
Hotep, my sister. Hotep, Sister Lumumba.
Brother Fumani, good to hear you. First of all, I'd like to say I'm so glad to hear you laugh, that you're still able to laugh. So I'm glad to hear that. And next, I'd like to say that thank you. I want to give you thanks for all the hard work that you've done and will be doing. Creator willing, I know he will be, for laying the groundwork for us, the actual figurative groundwork for us to be able to come back home and repatriate. Then I like to say I have noticed that the others, I like that term that you use, the others, when they come to our homeland, they don't come to enrich the homeland. They come to enrich themselves, which is what we see. And that you're right, that we could go nowhere else globally and be in authoritative position in any other country or on any other continent. So thank you so much, Brother Bumani, to you, your family, your associates, your help, your staff that is seeing the work and actually doing it. And I just want to thank you so much for that.
I appreciate your energy and everything. It means a whole lot. You know, we're dedicated to this because, you know, I have an 11-year-old child just like everyone else. I have children. And the last thing we want to see our children grow to do is to be, you know, in modern-day slavery for everybody else and things like that. So, and, you know, I appreciate what my parents and my grandparents did for us. And, you know, we got to kind of, like, continue that legacy, you know, and things like that. So, you know, so that's what we got going on. And, you know, let's keep on working together and just making it happen and just supporting each other, especially supporting Black-owned business, which is the most important thing.
Shay, you're right. Supporting ourselves.
Yes, thank you.
Yep. All right, my sister. Do you have another question or comment?
No, not yet. I just enjoy listening.
All right.
I'm just listening.
Thank you, sister. Thank you. Yeah. I think, you know, I remember when I met you when I first came here to Atlanta over 7 years ago now, And I've been promoting Africa for the Africans since that time. I haven't gone anywhere with you yet, but you know, your tours are very affordable. When a lot of people talk about going to Africa, they're, you know, because going to Africa is just not a notion. It is an expense because number one, we don't have airlines. It's just like you can catch a plane from the States to England to France. Probably $500, you know, but to go to Africa, that would be $15 to $2,000, you know, and sometimes they're even closer than going to Europe. But of course, they have the airlines. They have those kinds of controls. But to me, it's worth the expense when you can make those connections. It's worth the expense when you can have the feeling of being home. I never forget my first trip to Ghana. I've been five times, you know, but I never forget my first trip and all those since, you know, I always feel that I am home, but I do want to go to some other countries. And because once my grandson, my youngest grandson is about ready to graduate from high school, I'm out of here.
Yes.
You know, I'm out of here, you know, because that has been my desire to live in Africa, you know, although I'm a very urban individual, you know, and the idea, that's why the idea of what Garveytown was supposed to be appealed to me, because it was going to be a setting like a subdivision, all those things that you are accustomed to, all the creature comforts you're accustomed to, you know, were going to be built, you know, and then of course there's roads where you may be 20, 30 miles from a town or even less, you know, that so you can have those access, and maybe too you could build along with the subdivision a strip mall where you have access to some of the things, immediate things that you may need. The whole idea appealed to me, and to me it was worth investing in. It was worth trying to make that happen. Sister Lumumba, you have another question?
Yes, I have to make a correction here. I said you are figuratively laying the groundwork and building the land. I'm sorry, I really meant literally. I really did. Forgive me.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That is true. Literally, he's doing it. I figured it. Literally, he is doing it and has been doing this some time. Thank you, my sister. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And even though you have been doing this for quite a few years, your attitude and your perspective has not changed. Even though there's been some ups and downs, you continue because you see the hope and you see the vision of what it could be. And because one of the things that why I've become a staunch Pan-Africanist, why I've embraced this kind of philosophy, is because of what our ancestors have said, what our contemporaries have said, what those men and women talked about. I believe in independence. I believe in self-determination. I believe in liberation. I believe in sovereignty for African people. In fact, the model of this program is Pan-Africanism or perish. Unify or die. That is real to me. If we don't begin to do this, we as a people will die. We will be eliminated. And believe me, those outside of us could give less than a rat's ass about us and would further that elimination. So I'm saying is that we must care. And I know a lot of our people, there's some of our people don't want to be African. There's some of our people who say, I'm not African. I'm indigenous, you know, shit, you know, and don't want to support the ideas of Africa and look at Africa, you know, with a very disdainful eye because of the images that, that the West has portrayed of Africa. But Africa has all of the resources that have it. Africa has the land. Africa has the greatest potential. But to me, to realize that potential fully for us, we must begin to come together to control it. Africans in America have every right to help liberate Africa. Would you agree?
Well, absolutely. You know, the thing of it is, you need strength in numbers. You need all of your people. I use the example of what Marcus Garvey always used, you know, when he talked about China for the Chinese people and or Asia for the Asians. Mm-hmm. They're looking at, you know, they're looking at China as that mainland, which is falling apart because maybe only about 50% of the country can live in, but they don't play around. They would dispatch their people to countries that they can't speak the language, they can't do anything. They don't care. All they know is that they're going to make it work, and they believe in one China.
That's right.
And, that's what we are. We know we have to also look at, you know, even though we as a people educated the world and brought civilization to the world and built the entire world, we also have to be students of what the modern day people are doing, because they use everything that we have educated the rest of the world with and civilization with, and they're using it against us. They're using our corporate economics tactics. They're using, you know, all those things. And, you know, we have to say, you know what? We got to use the things that our ancestors laid a foundation for us to just do and things like that. And China represent that. India represent that. Countries like Lebanon represent that. And that's why they're so dominant in Africa. Mm-hmm. And that's why we're talking about, you know, building communities and, you know, making sure we look after our folks and, you know, when we get to Africa, and don't just run away from us when, you know, when you see us coming to Africa. I know we have our flaws, but it's like the diaspora have to stick together. And I'm not telling people that you need to just build communities and do things and then exclude your people, you know, that's on the continent, because I just got a call earlier from a sister from the Congo that lives in the UK, and she was just heartbroken. I told her, I was like, sister, the guy, unapologetic Negro Pian, just said that about me. First of all, I'm not African-American. I'm African-Jamaican, and I'm in line with my brothers and sisters from Africa, and also the Black American or African-American, whichever way people want to title it, and I'm all for us. And we're not trying to divide us and things like that. Some of us are not, you know, are not allowed because we can't bring bad behaviors in nation building and things like that. But I told her that there's people out there that's going to say things about me. And I was like, you know, the best way to confirm that is to go to our website, africafortheafricans.org. You go to a YouTube page, Facebook page, whatever, type in Bomani Tayamba. And that is what I am saying. My videos, the words are speaking out of my mouth, but people are going to misinterpret you. And so I told her, I was like, now, because she was also just going off on several of the people that I have here saying that, you know, your friends don't like Africans and your friends want to come to Africa and they want to build. And I was like, sister, a lot of things are being put out of the wrong context because we have self-hating black devils like this guy, unapologetic Negro Pian on YouTube. And he's attacking all of us that are in repatriation, which, like I tell people, it's a modern day operation that we have learned from our ancestors and our elders. And we're trying to craft it to another way and things like that. And I tell her that you got to follow the documentation. And I'm telling everyone that's listening, family, do your homework, do your research. The documentation doesn't lie. But you're going to have people that are looking for fame and looking to discredit us and crab in the barrels, a.k.a. black devils. And we got to literally understand that whether someone sent them or whether they decide to do that based on their psychological disturbance, those are the things that's happened. Just like all black organizations are infiltrated by people that don't have our best means. That's why we have these issues. But you know, we have to just be able to do our own research and things like that. So I'm trying to put out more content and information that we from the African diaspora are literally not trying to come to the African continent and dominate and take over and oppress our own people. And we're not trying to create another Liberia or Sierra Leone, because that's the fear of our people around the globe. Because when they hear this, they shake, because I'm so traumatized by what happened in Sierra Leone and Liberia. Because you're talking about two of the best African countries, a.k.a. number one and number two at one point in Africa. And now they're literally the worst countries in Africa. At one point, they're doing much better now and things like that. So I'm all for it, you know, for us working together and connecting, and, you know, for us to not get confused about what's really going on. And Oshi, you can, you know, you represent, you know, the African diaspora and our connection into Africa. Is that what we're really about, the people that you meet? Are we saying that we're coming to Africa to take over and oppress our people and build communities and say that they're not included?
And No, not at all. In fact, the whole idea, and when we talked about it, if we come there to build something that are inclusive, not separate, but inclusive. We want right. Africans that live there to live in that subdivision. We want Africans because, once again, you're right. When we came to Liberia, when we came to Sierra Leone, those men and women had the attitude of the oppressor.
Right.
They thought they were better because they were so close to, and their skin wasn't as dark and their hair wasn't as kinky. You know, all of these things that have constantly divided us. They didn't come there looking, said, I want to help Africa. I want to reestablish Africa as one of the top continents on this planet that it is, with Africans in control of it. I want the Europeans out. I want the Chinese out. I want the Arabs out. I want all of their ass out so we can control it. And see, the thing is this, Brother Mamani, and as you know, we do have all we need to make that happen. The only thing that we don't have is our right minds. That's the only thing we don't have. The mind and the will to do it. That's why I always emphasize that word will, because Marcus Garvey said, up, you mighty people, you can accomplish what you will. Do we have the will? Because the will drive you and whatever roadblocks, detours, or pitfalls that are put in your path, you will overcome them because you recognize your vision. You recognize the desire for us to be a free and proud and independent people who control their land, control their resources, control their destiny. But, oh, man, you know, it's that time. So why don't you give me some closing remarks, Brother Bomani? I know that you said you had to go, so I want to make sure, because I really always appreciate you and the work that you do. So I know you said you had to leave around this time. So give me some closing remarks, dear brother.
Yep, yes, perfect. And also, know, we can even, if you know, you're flexible next Friday, we can even continue on to what we talk about, because I realize that even 1 hour time goes by and, you know, it's a lot you want to really just share. But family, the main thing I want to share is that on our website, AfricaForTheAfricans.org, we are organized.
Well, why don't you give me some closing remarks, Brother Bomani. I know.
Go ahead, Brother Bomani.
Yes, our family. The ideal information that I have is our website, AfricaForTheAfricans.org. And on that website, it connects you to all means of our pictures, videos, our social media connects. And on the main menu of our website, AfricaForTheAfricans.org, you'll see a list of all of the tours to Tanzania, Senegal, the Gambia, and Ghana. And you also see the Black Star Repatriation and Pan-African Community. And once you click on those links on the main menu, it gives you full details of the operation on that tour. And you can literally just, I always recommend everyone, just take your time and read through information. And we're not putting all this information out there for no reason. We want to make sure that you're clear before you commit to a tour or investment and things like that. And if you're just someone that's out there in general that just want to connect with us because you want to go to Africa and you want to just be able to be connected with good people, the same thing too, reach out. There's a contact us, which links us, link that message to the email, and also contact us that link us directly to the WhatsApp. And you can just be in direct communication with me immediately, and we can dialogue and things like that. And if we need to work out a game plan to help you to repatriate and things like that, we can work those things out. I've spent 15 years in Ghana, literally connecting with as many people as I can for us to pull this off, to say one day we'll be able to get you connected properly on the African continent. And that one day is now, 2021. We have all those things in place ready for you.
Yep. Because everything that you need, brothers and sisters, when you go to AfricaForTheAfricans.org, everything you need to make it happen is on the website. The information about visas, the information about shots, everything. Everything is there. The documents. Even though I didn't travel with Brother Bomani back in 2019, but everything that I needed, I got from his website, you know?
Absolutely. And then, you know, I can always just, you know, talk to individuals, send them emails and things like that. I'm all about that life as far as us reconnecting. It's very important. And I've dedicated my life from 2004 to now going to Africa and documenting the truth and documenting information. So we have a website information where you can click on YouTube, and a YouTube link is youtube.com/Bomani2007. And the reason why I have things on YouTube and Facebook, because, you know, the reality of it is, when we talk about mainstream black people, the average black person, they're on these white networks. So I just didn't say, you know what, I need to be on there too. I need to be on YouTube, put everything up, because I know, you know, now you can just go to your nice big 75 or 65 inch TV, and you click on YouTube and you type in whatever. And then I have 2,750 videos, from the videos across the seven countries that I mentioned earlier, in Africa doing tourism, to the investment conference, to the citizen and repatriation conference, to general conference calls, to interviews, to even us being out there in the park, connecting together, doing the Marcus Garvey Day celebration and things like that. And literally just showing people that this is the documentation. And then even when you go on Facebook, it gets crazier, because you literally see groups of all the people and all the groups that I've taken to Africa from 2006 until now. And then in between, you'll see like a few different Marcus Garvey celebrations. I always try my best to make it out to the different celebrations and record those videos and put it on there. So then the videos are not monetized. So you can literally click on play all, and then you don't have to be disturbed by those irritating commercials. And I thank YouTube for offering me an option to where they can say, you know, you get no money, but at least you'll be able to see Bomani videos without commercials. Because, you know, we do good business. You know, we make business from tourism, from land, land investments and things like that. So, you know, I'm not greedy, and I'm not trying to chase that Facebook money. I'm not asking people to send donations or bothering people. We're just showing content because it gives you a world view of where you can literally see documentation anywhere you're in the world by just going on that network. So I'm proud to share that information with your family. And then if anybody just want to find information on me in general, you can type in Bomani Tayemba in your search engine, and those details will also come up.
Well, let's continue this conversation next week, Friday. Perfect. So brothers and sisters, if you're listening now, can you tell other brothers and sisters, if they have this desire to go to go home, or at least to come visit, or to invest, and so forth. Next week, of course, you can do some preparatory work by going to AfricaForTheAfricans.org for yourself, and of course, going to YouTube, YouTube.com/Bomani2007, or you want to see pictures, go to Facebook.com/Bomani. And so I thank you, Brother Bomani Tayemba. You have a blessed and wonderful day, my friend.
All right. Take care, family. One love, and keep it strong. And I'll connect back with everyone next time.
All right. Peace to you, my friend. Brother Bomani Tayemba. We got a caller here, 716. 716, good afternoon. 716, 716, good afternoon.
Hotep, Brother Oshie.
Hey, Brother Mike Brown. How are you, my friend?
Man, short and ugly and broke as a joke. How you guys making out? I just caught the tail end of your program.
Ah, okay.
And wanted to inquire as to whether or not there was a, you know, we have a lot of universities and colleges that sponsor students to be able to study in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know if there was a connection with Brother Mbani and his organization in encouraging that to occur and preparing those African students to seek
I like that idea.
You know, rather than just visiting so much, but
you hold on to that relationship. Yeah, you hold on to that question till next Friday when Brother Bomani comes back, because I'm definitely going to have him back.
Okay,
because we just scratched the surface, because a lot of things that he's doing. But once again, you know, even though you just got a snippet of what is, he's very serious, very very committed, very dedicated to Africa's coming together, linking up, and sharing resources, repatriating, investing, and so forth, because he's seen, just like I've seen, you know, other people are coming into Africa and manipulating and undermining and taking, you know, and disrespecting Africans. So, you know, whether you were in Ghana.
Well, you mentioned that, you know, that demise, you know, the effort to eliminate us starts with the elimination of the mindset to not only seek to survive, but to protect that mindset for survival.
Yeah, yeah.
We're granting our mindset. That's the real issue.
Yeah.
You know, that, we can have a slave mentality. Okay. You could have a slave mentality, but believe it, it's imposed. Ain't nobody chose no slave mentality.
Well, but see,
the continuation
that's right. Exactly.
Of that mentality is a choice.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it
and
is.
Unfortunately, we're making it.
But see, the thing is this. We can say it's a choice, but we've been conveniently steered to making that choice. You understand what I'm saying? Because our minds are not right.
It's conditioning. Absolutely.
Exactly.
It's conditioning.
It's a conditioning,
choose.
You know. And because they constantly want to make you think. It's more easy and more convenient for you to act and behave and think this way. But of course,
but it is.
Yeah,
but it
well,
is. But you trade, but you don't understand. What may not be as clear is what you're actually trading in making that choice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You're granting more loss of control even as you seek to maintain it.
Right. And thinking that you are in control. That's why it is for many of us, we believe that we have these choices. That's why Kanye West can say the stupid shit that he said, you know.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Because
he's expressing the effects of affluence.
Mm-hmm.
Having, that's what he's expressing.
Yeah.
Is this affluence, you know, that, I'm somewhat pseudo invincible or removed because I have so much money or so much fame or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And that's that is true to an extent. Okay. You will not be subject to
right.
the same sorts of
exactly.
Digressions, but also recognize that all of what you consider value is only within the context as they determine it.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
If you was to take
because
all
they
of
control
your so-called
it.
Goals or whatever
and
invested
it.
Like Stevie Wonder did, he's back in Ghana.
Mm-hmm. That's right. He said he's moving to Ghana.
Yeah, he ain't coming back. He said he ain't going to have his grandkids treated the way they are in the United States.
You know? And
which was a wise decision and one that expresses an affluence, an ability, a means. Okay?
Yeah.
And until we collectively achieve that means, Individuality is not going to count.
Well, the thing is, that's the problem, is that we as African people are a collective people. Europeans have pushed and promoted individualism because individualism is their desire. You know, I
not
think
only that.
I think therefore I am, you know. And
that's right. But as you express that individuality, it's within the collective context of Caucasianism.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, they're individuals until they're together.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as they're together, they all one force of whiteness.
Exactly.
You know?
And they impose
we're
it.
We're going to have to attain that white force, of that black force of blackness.
Yeah,
that's what we're going to have to attain.
Yeah.
And that the death of Pan-Africanism, the killing of Pan-Africanism, by any means necessary, is not only their goal, but their methodology, their tactic.
Because they know that once...
And only resist.
Right, because once Pan-African takes hold and we become one, it's over for their ass. It's over for all of them. Because now...
I don't know. I have great relief in understanding that black people are human beings. White people are something other. I don't know that we would ever do to white people whatever they even doing to us.
Oh, right. No, I didn't speak it... I didn't say that in terms of retribution and punishment. No, I'm speaking towards...
Yeah.
You know, we're now... excluding you. You do,
no.
You know, because we have always embraced people. That is our,
nature.
That's our nature. We are as human beings, you know.
That's right.
Because when, all the people that came into Africa, we treated them with respect. They came in, they soaked up the culture. They got the information all the way from ancient times. When the Greeks came into Kemet, they studied at our feet. You know, when when we came into Europe, in the western part of Europe, you know, the Moors, they studied our feet. Europe would not be what it is if not for the 700 years of education and doing things that we had provided.
That's right.
You know, so we were always the giving people. We didn't do that. Oh, man, Mike Brown, you should have called. We're up against the time, man. We're up against the clock.
No, we're always up against the time, what would you and me?
You know it, my friend.
I would look forward to listening to your program next Monday, man. And
right on.
Keep up the good work, man. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, dear brother.
I spread the word. I hope more and more people at my streams are catching this program because, in fact, everything that's coming across with Time for an Awakening
is a
source of education.
It really is. From what Brother Elliott is doing there,
I hope that you continue and it grows more and more, and I look forward to our future being brighter as a result.
Right on, brother. Thank you, man.
We're going to need some specific objectives, however, so that we can measure that growth.
Yep.
I don't even know how to best describe it. Maybe it's you know, some kind of a fan mail kind of a thing. Well, you know, I heard about Brother Bomani on Oshi show, and I decided I'm going to Ghana just for a visit.
Right on. See, that's the kind of mindset. You're right. That's the kind of thing that could happen. Exactly. Exactly. You know, I did that. In fact,
well, one brother to measure the effect.
One brother was going to Ghana, but of course the pandemic happened and that squashed that for him. But I mean, as this thing will subside eventually, and that's the direction that we're going to definitely go. Direction we're going to definitely take.
Absolutely.
All right, dear brother.
I might suggest though. Because of your location at in Atlanta, the numbers of African students that are coming to those central place because of the number of universities in African American perspective, we need to build that relationship, strengthen it, because those young people that arrive here, they've got brothers and sisters and cousins and uncles in Africa, that we need to have that family connect. This is the locus, or this is our connecting point, but we have this broad range of folks that we can also access because of the presence of this one individual that have arrived from the continent. And that affords us a means by which we can expand on the connection beyond the one individual. Yeah, you know, you're in a fraternity or you're a graduate of a particular college or whatever, but we need to understand that is possibly his village, his tribe, his family have graduated, and they're a part of this growth, not just this one individual thing.
Right.
This is a collective thing.
That's right. All right.
And build on that, because we've lost the last 40 years of that opportunity, and we need to take the next 40 to build on it.
I say. All right, dear brother. Appreciate you, man. Right, you have a blessed weekend. Talk with
my
you soon.
My pleasure, Mansky. Thank you so much.
You bet. Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, we thank you for listening. You have a blessed and wonderful weekend, and you be safe. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bibi Fahodie. Bibi Fahodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. Have a wonderful and safe weekend, family. Hope to see you on Monday. Peace.